When someone says, spoiled brat, what comes to your mind? What is it that you may think when you hear spoiled brat? Do you think of entitled and wild person? But have you heard of the term jiprox? Have you heard the term jiprox? Laki sa layaw jiprox. Few decades ago, rock artist Mike Hanopol popularized the song Laki sa layaw, Laki sa layaw, jiprox, jiprox. Jiprox was introduced as a street slang term for entitled, rich, spoiled brats. Jiprox are entitled individuals. They are disruptive. They are undesirable element in the society. They are considered hopeless case. While many rich people have no time with their children because they spend much time in their businesses, and so to compensate their absence and not doing their parenting responsibilities, they just give much money to their children. You like those kind of parents? Ah, that would be tough. Jiprox have no financial education. They spend money extravagantly. They are prodigal and they are wasteful spender. They find no satisfaction in whatever they do. They are troublemakers. Giving much money to children can spoil them, can make them prodigals, prodigal jiprox. Jiprox are prodigal. In the story of the prodigal son in the scripture, illustrate exactly the kind of lifestyle of prodigal jiprox. So parents, train your children how they could be financially smart. How they could be financially smart. You might ask, what biblical training should parents impart to children how they may handle their finances wisely? Listen very carefully. The biblical principle of handling finances wisely is give the tithes of God. You heard it right and clear. Give the tithes of God is great biblical principle that genuine believers of Christ should seriously practice if you want to have financial stability. Do you sense resistance in your mind when you hear it? When you hear, give the tithes of God, is there any resistance? Saying like, no, I just cannot, no. Yes, it's natural. We resist godly command. That is our natural instinct, to resist the godly command. And give God's tithe is godly command that requires godly effort. Instinctively, we resist this biblical principle of giving 10% of our income to God because this command is godly. Anything godly, we resist. Anything godly commands, we resist. So it is a practice of faith in God to obey His command. It is a practice of faith in God to give the tithes of God. It's practice of faith. If your mind resists the idea of giving the tithes of God, pray for stronger faith. What's the difference of tithes and offering? Tithes is the right portion of God, 10%, that's the right portion of God. Offering, that is coming from you. That the Lord doesn't require. It's your show of gratitude to the Lord. Where do we get the tithes of God, you may ask? Is it from gross income or net income? When you start asking those questions, you are practicing legalistic practice. That is considered legalistic practice. Because in the law, in the Old Testament, give 10%. That's the requirement in the law. So if you are thinking, which or where do I get the 10% of God, gross or net income, then you are thinking of being legalistic. It's not a practice of faith to ask that question. It's not. With faith in God, we sense that gladness giving back the portion of God, and not concerned whether it is from gross income or net income. You will not be thinking about that. God is not bothered by the amount you give to Him. What can we give that He has not given? Think about that. You're earning, for example, 1,000. 10% of 1,000, what is 100? Now, your friend is a billionaire. Billionaire. How many hundreds is billion? I cannot even imagine. And then you tell him, I will give you my tithes to you, billionaire. Will it be 100 or just $10? Well, talking about, just keep it to yourself. I don't need your money. He would say that. God is the owner of everything. He creates everything. If He needs gold, He creates gold. If He needs diamond, He just creates diamonds. So what is tithe for us? What is it for Him, if we give tithes? It's not for Him. He rewards behavior and attitude of giving His portion cheerfully. His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God in us, inspire us to give, whether it is from gross or from net income. So pray for stronger faith before you decide to give or decide not to give. Pray for stronger faith in God, because God loves cheerful giver. That's in the Bible. God loves the cheerful giver. And loves there is not past tense. It is present tense. It's not even future tense. Meaning, at the moment that you are giving regularly, that's the moment that God loves you. Not loved you, not past tense, not in the past, at the present, at the moment you give and regularly give, He loves you. God loves us when we gladly give His tithe, His right portion. Giving His tithe practically proved that we also trust His promises, His promise to bless givers of His tithe. How do you interpret what the Lord says in Malachi 3:10-11? Let's read. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it is ripe. For you who are growing plants, you know that pests destroy plants, and you don't like pests, right? Likewise, there are bad elements in the society. They are pesters. They destroy. They destroy even your livelihood, your crops, your source of income. Those are the pests. You don't like them, right? Livelihood can be farming. Livelihood can be in the office. Livelihood can be in your home. But the Lord promised to prevent pests or bad element. He said, I will prevent pest from devouring your crops. Prevent pest or bad elements from destroying the source of income of giver of his tithe. The giver of his tithe, that is the Lord. He will prevent so that that giver of his tithe will continue to give regularly and enjoy the blessing of God. Parents, when by faith you faithfully give God his portion from your income, you practically exemplify to your children this biblical open secret of financial stability. I've never heard somebody who regularly give the tithes of God and complain about finances. Most of the time, those who give God his tithe, they have financial stability. Can you agree with that? Is it hard to agree? Is there still resistance in your mind? Pray for increase of faith, friends. Pray for increase of faith. If you sense that resistance in your heart and in your mind, Lord, I resist that idea. I resist it. But help me increase my faith in you, to believe and trust you that when I give your tithe, you would bless me more. Pray seriously. Remember that it requires godly effort to obey godly commands and to give his tithe and expect his blessing. That is God's command and instruction, that we need godly effort. Furthermore, genuine Christians are obliged to prepare for the future of their children and not otherwise. So if you want to have financial stability, parents, pray that God would increase your faith, that you may regularly give his tithe, and you will not worry about the future of your children, even your future, even your retirement. Apostle Paul shared his advice in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Let's read together. Children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. And now, many individuals would say, I am the one who give birth to you. I am the one who sustained you in your studies. I am the one who feed you all the days of your life. So it is but proper that you provide for me when I grow old. And I read that in the Facebook. Parents are trying to pressure their children to provide for them. What a shameful attitude of parents if they call themselves Christians. One may ask, what if my children become financially successful and provide for my needs? Well, you are blessed. You are blessed. God has given you bonus. If your children would be blessed all the more, and your children would be just willing to shower you with so much material things, you are blessed. God observed your parenting, and you are blessed. You are given bonus for your good parenting. Children, observe and follow our life example, parents. Our behavior, our habit, our perspectives as parents. So parents, your spiritual perspectives may inspire your children to be smart and not prodigal. Let's read again verse 8 and 9. Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic. Love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Look at that. The inheriting blessing, the requirement is that you start repaying evil with blessing. your perspective, your outlook, your point of view at how you approach life, how you live your life, including your expenditure, including how you may spend your money, will certainly influence your children. If you are prodigal, your children may be prodigal one day. Apostle Peter advised husband and wives to respect each other as children of God. And all of us are advised to have similar perspective, to be like-minded, to respect others. Respect for others is our testimony. That is our calling. What is your calling? What is your calling? To respect others. That's our calling. Respect is practically exhibited in sympathy, love, compassion, and humility. If you love, you are respecting them. You have sympathy, you respect them. You have compassion, you respect them. You are humble enough. When somebody says things, you do not just get angry, but be humble and listen. That's respect. Blessing is added inheritance to respectful believers. Remember that. You want added inheritance? Respect is the secret. The scripture teaches us that husband and wife become one. When husband and wife get married, they become one. The Bible says so. We believe the Bible is true. Does it mean that husband and wife are required to have joint bank account because they are one? Biblically, it is advisable, but legally, no one should be forced to have joint bank account. Respect for each other's financial perspective is helpful to avoid regrets and unnecessary argument later. What do you practice, legally or biblically? The Lord teaches what is best for us in the scripture. Do you believe that? What is best for us, the Lord teaches. Do you believe that? If you cannot ask for increase of faith, but it says in Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18, I am the Lord who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would be, you would have been like river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. Do you sense peace in your heart? That is, if you listen to the teaching of the Lord. What is peace like river? Do you like watching flowing river? Looking at that flowing gif, if you would, flowing river. Looking at it, it feels like everything you have in mind is cleared, right? It's like, wow, you just want to look at it and you are not thinking about anything, meaning you are at peace. To watch that river flowing a certain path, that is also a refreshing view. Someone said, rivers do not go against the current. It goes from one direction. We should be like rivers, forgetting the past and get moving on and moving on. I don't know. We are not rivers. We are humans. Similarly, walking along the beach, imagine yourself walking along the beach. What do you do? Swimming in the ocean or sailing. What do you do? Can you imagine yourself those moments of relaxation? Similarly, it is refreshing experience when we follow diligently what the Lord teaches. If you like that practical experience of peace like a river, and like peace like being in the waves of the sea. Why is being in the waves of the sea so peaceful? You like swing, right? Swinging. Duyan. What is duyan in English? Hammock. It's like you're in your lying down in a hammock. The hammock waves moves like a waves, right? And it makes you sleepy. Why do you sleep? Because you are at peace. You want to relax. That is kind of the representation of the waves of the sea. And that is the practical illustration of listening to the teaching of the Lord, because the Lord teaches what is best for us when we follow. We find peaceful rest of our soul when we follow and learn from the examples of Christ. The Lord in the Old Testament is the same Lord Jesus who was born human in the New Testament. Do you accept that? We find rest when we follow the examples, the teachings of Christ. Respect for each other is actually the Lord's teaching, biblical mastery for peaceful and restful life. If you have respect for your neighbors, truly when husband and wife carefully respect each other, they have peace at home. They avoid undesirable quarrel. I remember many times I quarreled with my wife, and I caused it when I became so rude in my jokes. I make jokes sometimes that is not proper at that moment. It's not timing. So we quarrel, and many husbands and wives do quarrel because this seems like they forget to respect each other. Respect for each other gives us tranquility and peace in our soul. We do not worry about others. We are at peace with others. We don't cause anything, and we don't worry what may happen. We surely enjoy life as believers of Christ, even with problems around us. Surely we have a lot of struggles, but we know that when we respect others, our acquaintances, our boss, our office mates, our family, our friends, of church members, when we know we respect them, we don't worry about them. You heard of people going to church? Why do you come to church? Why you don't come to church anymore? Oh, because someone is there. I don't like to see him. Why you don't like to see him? I don't know. But if you respect that person, you want to see that person. Have you heard someone when he said, what can I get from doing such and such? What can I get when I respect them? Those people who ask those things may expect profit from being good, from being kind to others. But it encourages us in Luke chapter 6, verse 32 to 36. Let's read this together meditatively. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Now, in my family back in the Philippines, they observe me. Sometimes I do not give or I do not lend anything, because my principle is that if I lend you something, it means you can get it, and you can take it as your own. You do not need to return. But if you return, it's your bonus. It's my bonus. It's a blessing. This is why when somebody said, "May I borrow this and that?" Well, will I allow him to keep it for themselves? That is something that I think first before I share or I lend something. So that don't borrow my car. I might give you my car. If I will let you borrow it. This is why people say, "Oh, that pastor is very stingy. He doesn't want to even to let me borrow something from him." Because that's my principle. If I let you borrow, you might want to take it. And I will give it to you for free. I won't ask you in return. Anyway, God loves both believers and those who reject him. When his grace and love overflow in our life, we also sense concern for fellow believers and also for potential believers. God is merciful. He patiently waits for everyone to seek his love. Now, our church leaders are preparing for the 2023 church budget, and certainly we love to have fellowship as fellow Christians, but pray that our church leaders will discern how God wants us to be productive spiritually, and pray that God would reveal to our church leaders which particular ministry he wants us to be involved with in the advancement of the gospel of Christ. Well, participation in the church ministry, this is very essential for our spiritual growth. We learn from each other. We practice our spiritual gifts. All believers receive spiritual gifts or more. You may have one or more, but you cannot have it all. But know which spiritual gift you have. Is it leading? Do you have that enjoyment of leading? Is it serving? Do you sense that you can do all those services without anyone telling you that you do it? Is it prophesying or sharing the gospel of Christ or teaching others? Even when others won't listen to you, you still want to teach. You have the gift. Observe this, parents. You want to teach your children what is biblical, and when they do not listen to you, you just keep on teaching because you just love teaching. You are not bothered when they resist you. You are not bothered when they disobey you. That is the gift of teaching or preaching. You preach even if nobody's listening, even if only one is listening. Even if many will be listening, you want to preach. You have that gift of preaching. What you consistently, diligently do could be your spiritual gift. Without any pressure, that is how you would sense that it's the Holy Spirit working in your life. But when you need somebody to push you, "Yeah, you come here, you attend here, you join us here." You are just waiting for that prompting. Listen carefully, that is not your spiritual gift. Because when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience. Patience is diligence. Gentleness. Faithfulness is diligence. Self-control. That is how you know your spiritual gift. We can be spiritually productive when we actively use our spiritual gift. Now, if you love singing, want to sing for the Lord, nobody wants to invite you, you just want to sing for the Lord. That is your gift. And you might want to join the Javanite and sing for the Lord, not for the people who would be here. Sing for the Lord. Let me ask you, have you ever sensed that longing deep in your soul? Emptiness, you feel that emptiness and you wish to be filled, you wish to be satisfied. Have you experienced that? Your innermost being is yearning for something that you just cannot identify, something you do not know, but you know that there is something lacking, something's missing in your life. It teaches us in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27, The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Pray sincerely. Pray seriously that the Holy Spirit reveals to you practically which step to take and pursue it. Everyone senses emptiness that only God can fill. That emptiness is missing in your life. If it is missing in your life, ask, Lord, fill me. Is it selfishness to pray for the best for yourselves? What do you think? You pray like, Lord, I want to be the Prime Minister of Canada. Is that selfishness? I want to be a popular singer in 25 years. Is that selfishness? Pray what is best for yourself. Not for the minimal things. Lord, pwede na ako dito. Pwede na yan, bigay mo. I'm sorry, Nikhil. I'm speaking in tongue. Explain to Nikhil what I said. Explain to Glenn. When you pray, pray for the best. Be selfish when you are praying for yourself. That is one thing that you need to pray. Many times I pray that many would be praying for me. That is selfishness. Yes. Lord, I pray that more would be praying for me. But I pray that they would experience 1,000 times what they pray for me. There was a time when I prayed. I prayed here in this pulpit. And I saw answers to that prayer. God multiply whatever you pray for me, whether it is minimal or great or small or little, whatever it is. I pray. It's my prayer that God would multiply that so that you will know that it is when you prayed for me that God blessed you. That is my selfish prayer that I would like you to hear today. Actually, God wants us to know what is best for us. He wants us to the best for us. So if God wants the best for us, if He teaches the best of us for us, why is it not good to pray for the best for us, right? The Lord says, I teach you the best for you. So I pray, Lord, help me know the best that you want to teach me. That is your prayer. Until we live in this within the plan of God, until we are within the plan of God that He designed for us, we will yearn and long to be filled. There will be feeling of unsatisfaction, no contentment. What do we do? Pray to be filled by the Holy Spirit and pursue His will. Lord, reveal to me your will. Help me pursue it. You cannot do it on your own. So ask the Lord. When you ask the Lord, what is it? What, like for example, if you are asking for a career, what career is best for me, Lord, that you prepared? Help me. And when you pray for that, even when people say, oh, you are doing wrong, you are doing this, you are doing that, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. As long as you did it by faith, even if others do not agree with you, believe that God is redirecting you, putting you on a detour, going to that career path that He wants you to pursue. You know that it is the will of God when you sense that joyful peace in your heart, even when others do not agree with you. But listen also. Ask the Lord, why is this person not agreeing with me, Lord? The Lord will reveal to you if you listen or not. Pursue the will of God and you will have peace. Let's read again verse 10 and 11. For whoever would love life, see good days, must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. You and I, we want to have good life, right? Do you want good life? You say amen? Amen. Of course, we want that. Of course, by faith to believe, it is by faith to believe that God has designed the best life we can ever have on earth. God had already designed the best life you can have. Do not look at the other's life because their lives, God designed it for them. Do not compare your lifestyle to the lifestyle of others because that is the best God would want them. Do not dream of becoming a billionaire if God wants you to be a millionaire. Only. Do not dream to be a millionaire only if God wants you to be a billionaire. Now think about this. At this point in time, just think, yes, let's have some kind of mind play. Think that you have, God said, here is 1 million. Spend it the way you want it. What is the first thing that you would do? Now, the first thing that you would do would reveal to you that you are not prepared or you are prepared to be a millionaire. Or not. Not yet. Or not yet. Respect of each other is biblical open secret to peace in good life. It's not money. It's not money. In your pursuit of good life, learn to respect other people. Even when you grow richer or you remain as you are, you, as long as you have peace in good life, you like that. They verbally say, you heard this many times, I respect you. I respect you. But how should we respect each other and have good life in a biblical way? How? It says, avoid evil, avoid deceitful speech, do good, seek and pursue peace. That is a secret. If we refrain from offensive words, if you still cannot contain your mouth speaking offensive word, ask the Lord, Lord, do not let this offensive word come out of my mouth. Please. Every time you, there's this urge in you to speak cuss word, ask the Lord, Lord, don't let this cuss word come out of my mouth. Turn away from hateful cuss. If we avoid deceitful speeches or promises, this is something that many Christians do not think it is very hurtful, but it hurts. They promise, I will come, but they do not come. That is many times heard in practice, that they think it is not doesn't hurt, but it hurts you who promise. When you say yes, yes, you say no, no. Outside that is sin. You keep sinning if you promise something. The Lord is looking at you because you are His children. As His children, He wants us to experience goodness in life. And one is that prevent making promises that you do not intend to do. If you know that you are not going to do it, don't say it. If we are good to others, if we seek and pursue peace, we also obey the command of God. When we obey the command of God, He blesses us when we obey Him. Can you agree? Everyone, individuals, others, other groups, may promote freedom of speech. They fight against discrimination. Others may even pressure you to join their cause. Join us, come on. You're my friend. Come on, join us. But should Christians join cause-oriented groups? If you sense that pressure of participation to cause-oriented organization, that is a warning sign that you are situated in a spiritual warfare. There is spiritual warfare going on. So make sure you are prepared. Pray. We encourage that we always wear the full armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 to 18, it says, 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth, buckle around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can distinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayer and request. If you want to know more about this, you go to our website and just go in that search area, the tags about the full armor of God, and it might lead you to that sermon where we have discussed about the armor of God in Ephesians. All of us, all Christians, we always struggle about against the power of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. In respect for each other, we should always pursue peace, so that we may enjoy a good life even in the midst of warfare. Even when others don't agree, they won't agree with you. Just respect them. Always pray on all occasion to be empowered. Always pray to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what to do, if you don't know how to decide, you don't know which word, how you explain your decision, ask the Lord for wisdom. Lord, give me the right word that I may explain to this fellow my decision. Let's read again verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Remember that. Read again. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Certainly, everyone in the world, we will experience problems common to mankind. Nobody is exempted from problems. We all have problems. The Lord, however, wants His children. He wants us to have good life, to sense peace and gladness. That comes from Him. So that we may prove practically His grace, His love, that others would see in us. Why are you so calm? You're so tranquil. Not panic. Everything are panicking, and you are still just have peace in you. Then explain. Do you want to listen how? You want to learn how? I have this peace in me because I trust in my Lord Christ Jesus, my Savior. I ask His Holy Spirit to fill me. His Holy Spirit is the one who gives me that peace that you see in me and that you testify of His goodness. Despite the difficulties of life, we trust that God is attentive when we pray. It teaches us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. We know and rely on the love of God, the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, in God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. He has given us this command: anyone who loves must also love their brother and sister. Do you sense fear? Fear of the future, fear of your children, fear of your grandchildren, fear of your retirement, fear of health, fear of the pandemic, fear of the economy, fear that war may come, fear of your neighbor, fear of whatever, fear that you may be laid off. The Bible says, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. God is love. You are not yet made perfect in God. So what do? When you sense that fear, pray that the Holy Spirit fill you overflowingly with love. And don't stop. You know that you are overflowing in the love of the Holy Spirit of God when you are able to love a brother or a sister, especially those unlovable. We all experience anywhere unlovable individuals. Have you seen people who abuse it when you show your love for them? Yes. Do you still love them when people abuse you, abuse your love and care for them? What should we do when we practically show care to our neighbors, for example, but they abuse it? What should we do? Now, last week, heavy snowfall may have caused traffic or delay, and you may need to clear snow before you get out of your driveway. Good for you, didn't go to work last Friday, because it was Veterans Day and some of you did not go to work. But I just want to go out, that's why I need to clear the driveway, because I need to go out. When it snows, every time I shovel snow, I praise God. Why? I know I'm in Canada. The week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before we came to Canada, there was the Typhoon Onyok. Ondoy Onyok. Sorry, Onyok. Ondoy. And what's the next? OP. And Peping. Oh, Onyok. Onyok in the north, in Metro Manila, Peping in northern Philippines. And that week before we came, we were all on the second floor of our apartment because the first floor is flooded. Can you imagine that? I can tell you more detailed gruesome experience that we have in person, but not on the pulpit. But it makes us look back and smile when we have snow here. You would rather want to have snow than being flooded, right? You would rather want that. You clean the flooded first floor of your house, And you need to wash whatever needed to wash for us. It's not, you just need to shovel. You do not need to wash. Everywhere you go, there is problem. You want to a place without snow, you might say, oh, I don't like here. You go to a place without snow and you do not like there. You go to the place where you want the snow and you don't like snow. Wherever we go, we don't like many times. Well, someone was asked, How do you maintain your health? You're advanced in health, in life. You're old and still you have good health in your advanced old age. He replied, I cultivate plants in spring. I cut down grass in summer. I rake leaves in fall. I shovel snow in winter. Well, shoveling snow is free exercise indeed. You have shoveled snow in a negative double digit, and still perspiring, that is great. And it can help you grow stronger. It can help you perspire sweat, even when it's very cold when you shovel snow. But of course, you don't want to shovel, yes, use the snow blower. But if you can, if you have that, it's good. But if you want to shovel, and your parking pad, your driveway is not enough, you can shovel snow from your neighbor. Neighbor, can I shovel your snow? Why? I want to exercise. That's good, right? You need more exercise. Yet not all neighbors are grateful. How do you respond if your neighbor insensitively throws snow in your yard or driveway? Do you have that neighbor? You have? This is why I choose a residence where I only have one neighbor, because I don't want both neighbors would be throwing snow in my driveway. Well, why does God allow neighbors to be inconsiderate? Why? God allows us to be sympathetic, to love even the unlovable, to be compassionate, to be humble, to practice that. Because if we can practice that, the more we grow in our love, in our sympathy, in our compassion, in our humility, and not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, we repay evil with blessing, because we are called so that we may inherit blessing. Why? Christians, listen carefully. We are mandated to witness for Christ. Our lifestyle is our proof of our testimony. Our love and care for others should overflow from the love of God for us. Don't force that. When we sense that it is hard to love the unlovable, pray to be filled and inspired by the Holy Spirit. Don't use love from human love. Use love from God to love others. There's no fear in love. You would not fear that they would abuse your love if you are inspired by the Holy Spirit. We may fear that others may abuse our love and care. Pray to be filled more of His love. Pray that God produce love in your heart. Pray, ask Lord, if that is one thing that you can pray for, that God would overflow love in your heart so that you would not be forcing your life, yourself, to love the unlovable. Pray. Don't try to force the issue of loving others. It is not because the Bible says love others, love your enemies, and I need to love these enemies because the Bible says so. You are trying to force yourself. That is not what God wants us. God wants us to experience His love so that His love in us overflow in us. That is the love that we use to love others. Love should be spontaneous fruit of the Holy Spirit of God, so that when you love others, you would sense that peace and gladness. You are smiling. But if you are trying to show your love, love you too. Kau pa ang galit, ano? No, that's not the kind of love that the Bible teaches. Personally, do you have neighbors who are unlovable, inconsiderate, people who are insensitive surrounding you, around you? Seriously pray, sincerely pray to be filled. Seriously pray, sincerely pray to be inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. This is when love for the unlovable will increase your inheritance from the Lord. Let's stand up and let's pray to be filled, to be inspired, that love may overflow in our lives. Let's pray.